Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this chance to be here. Thank you for Bailey's public profession of her personal decision. Thank you for other decisions and prayers that have been lifted up to you this morning. Their unspoken requests, Lord, there are all kind of things going on. Father, we come now to continue in the series that you've given me about hard truths, hard teachings from Jesus. And today we move into dangerous myths. And may what you've put in my heart to share with these folks, may it help them. May it help us be better at what you've called us to be. May it help us live life more fully in relationship with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, start with a question. And you get to raise your hand. And I know for a fact that what I'm going to ask you, each of us has experienced. You may be experiencing it right now. Have you ever been overwhelmed with life? Raise your hand. Sometimes life is just tough. You got too much going on, too many demands, too much stress, too busy. And the word too busy seems to be a word that we use quite a bit in our world today. We've got cell phones and computers and all these things. And I remember when the computer first began to break out and they were talking about a 40-hour work week, said it'll drop to about 33.7. With all this technology we have, we'll be working less and accomplishing more. I don't know about you, but I think that's a lie. It's the other way around. Of course, now I'm in the minority because, as my son likes to say, I don't work but that half hour a week. I just want y'all to know that, okay? That's what he tells me. It's like the little boy that I said one day talking to me, I said, I'm just a poor preacher. He said, well, my daddy didn't say anything about you preaching. You'll get that in a minute, okay? He said, my daddy said you're overpaid. I said, he did. He said, yeah. He said, it takes four men to carry your paycheck every day. I want you to know that they get, you want to make a deacon in here nervous? Let me come down near the altar table with the buddy there. They watch me like a hawk. Overwhelmed busyness. At least most of us, sometime today, this week, this month, or maybe it's been a whole year, you feel overwhelmed with life. Maybe it's things you can do things about. Maybe it's not, and you just feel like you're not going to make it. But it's just one of those things. I want you to turn with me to the book of Numbers. To the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, the 11th chapter. And we're going to look at the life of a fella who has got himself in a situation where he is completely overwhelmed. He really doesn't know what to do. And just completely overwhelmed with life. In Numbers 11, chapter 1, we're dealing with the life of the fellow we know as Moses. Numbers 11, chapter 1. Now, when we get to this part of the biblical story, the people have been delivered from the Egyptians. They're on their march with God toward receiving the commandments in the promised land. And so when we come into the chapter 11 of Numbers, the first verse it says, now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord, it says, the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. Now Moses got all these people, they begin to complain. And what are they complaining about? They've only got manna to eat. God is feeding them every day. They're not having to do everything, but they've only got manna, so they begin to complain. God says, I tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you exactly what I will do. I'll just send down fire into the midst of the camp, and we'll see how they react to that. Let's read further. So that the people, it says in verse 2, cried out to Moses. And Moses cried out to the Lord, and he intercedes on their behalf. Now we want to jump down to verse 10. Now when Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, each man at the doorway of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. So here's what Moses did. Moses is overwhelmed. Lord, why have you been so hard on your servant? He's not talking about them. He's talking about himself. Why have you been so hard on your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you've laid the burdens of all these people on me? Any of you mothers or dads out there ever feel burdened for your family or for your work people? You know what he's feeling. Moses is just overwhelmed. He says in verse 12, Was it I who I conceived them all? And in language of youth today, I'm not these babies' daddy. Amen. Some of y'all get that. You too old. Okay. And was it I who brought them forth in verse 12 that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries an infant to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I going to? They wanted meat. They were tired of bread. I don't know about you, but I like bread. In fact, the difficult thing is I found out my A1C is up, and I've got to watch so I don't end up having to check my blood and end up taking that shot that other diabetics do, is that I have to go buy bread. I was in Walmart just yesterday morning. I walked down the bread aisle crying. Some lady said, sir, are you all right? I said, yes, ma'am. We used to be such good friends. I was overwhelmed. You can get overwhelmed, folks. Where am I going to give meat to all these people? For they weep before me, saying, give us meat that we may. He says in verse 14, I am alone to carry all these people. And he said, it's too burdensome for me. So if you're going to ask me to do this, he says in verse 15, why don't you just kill me? Moses has reached the point that he's so overwhelmed, he wants to die. Now, if Moses were in most congregations today, we would probably identify what he's going through in a way, but if we had the opportunity to advise him, most church folks or most Christians would bust Moses with a couple of phrases. They would advise him as well-meaning Christians, and they would say, don't worry, Moses, you know, it's going to be okay. Don't they say that to us? You start telling your problems and they don't want to hear them. And they go, well, it's going to be okay. You don't need to worry about it. And you don't need to be concerned. And then they come up with that phrase. God will not what? God will not put more on you than you can handle. Can I have a witness? Amen. I am so glad to know that. When I am overwhelmed, I am so glad to know that God won't put more on me than I can handle. And I tell you what, folks, if this computer don't straighten up, we're going to throw it out there where Brian is. It's doing that now. Yeah, oh, it shook its head no. Moses responds with a question. And he asked the question, basically, if Moses were in our congregation, and he's poured out his heart, I'm overwhelmed with all this, and you said to him, well, Moses, don't worry about it, brother, it'll be okay. God won't put more on you than you can handle. Now, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, Moses says, okay. Show me where that is in this book. Now, if you were a scholar like I am, you would tell him to turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want you to turn there. Y'all thought he wasn't in there. I got you. I'm a scholar. I don't know what I'm a scholar about, but I'm a scholar. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Apostle Paul writing, gives us the answer to the whole thing. Paul just backs it up. Moses is going, where does it say God won't put more on me than I can handle? Moses begins to turn and you puff up and go, aha, I got you. Here we go. No temptation has overtaken you, but is common to man. God is faithful,
He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you'll be able to endure it. Case closed. Suck it up, Moses. Well, the problem is that Moses is a little more hooked up to God than I am, maybe. Because Moses says, and I want you to hear this, I'm not experiencing temptation. I'm not experiencing temptation. When Paul writes this, and some people will use this to back up the idea that God won't give you more than they handle, they are proof texting, they are lying to you, they're wrong. What he says is no temptation has overcome you. In other words, the devil cannot tempt you to the point that God will not give you a way of escape. That has nothing to do with being overwhelmed and burdened.
That's right.
When I say it's a proof text, we like to take from time to time little verses out of the Bible and make them work our way. I like the woman that said, "Let your women keep silent in the churches where I don't allow for them to speak." It's in there! But it's a proof text, and we won't go any further there tonight. Or today. It is night, it is day, okay? Okay. So, if he's not talking about temptation, what do we do? What do we do when we are overwhelmed? When life has got you so pressed down, you don't see any way out. You understand this, that God allowed it. Now that really will get you in trouble with a bunch of folks. And this thing is really being uncooperative. Excuse me for doing this. Robbie, you and I and this computer got to have a talk. It keeps going from 10% to 250. Now, I want you to hear this. It is the devil that will tell you God won't put more on you than you can handle. God says, I'll put a whole lot more on you than you can handle. And so what you need to do, if you've ever said that, if you've ever thought that, or anybody's ever said that to you, get that out of your biblical thought and your theology and your life. It is a lie straight from the mouth of the devil, because the devil's saying that God won't put more on you. Suck it up, because you'll do it yourself. Why will God put more on us? We're going to look at that, because it's called the gift of God. You see, every day God is giving us, allowing, filtering through His fingers, us to experience burdens and being overwhelmed. Why? Why would He do that? Because God wants to teach us something. And I want you to understand, it is a dangerous myth to tell somebody God won't put more on you than you can handle. Because if you say it to me, I'm going to take you to the book of Job. And I'm going to say, well, isn't that interesting? God said there's no man like him in all the earth. And yet God let the devil take his family, his wealth, give him sickness. If somebody like Job wasn't overwhelmed, and I tell you what, I love the Lord. I've been a faithful Christian. I've been a pastor. And I want to, there are times I've been overwhelmed. If you men can have a witness, I'm going to say, hey.
Amen.
He's put a whole lot more on me than I could handle. Now, I tell you what, I could be a nice guy, but I'm not. And I could stop right there, and I could say, you've heard the word of the Lord for today, now go home. Y'all like that, wouldn't you? You like that, isn't it? No, the Methodists and Presbyterians pay me not to let y'all out early, okay? What is happening is God is giving you the gift, I want you to hear this, of too much. The gift of too much. The gift of too much. God wants me to be overwhelmed? Yeah. He wanted to teach Moses, and He wants to teach you and I three things, and I'm going to share them very quickly. You might want to write these down, but you might just want to hear. He wants to teach us about the gift of too much. The first thing that God's gift of too much, when we're overwhelmed, gives us the option of is to put something down. Mark something off your to-do list. Give something up. The word we like to use in modern business today is prioritize. You see, God didn't create you to do it all yourself. We get this idea that
I'm a man. You know, I'm a pastor. I've got a master's. I've got a doctorate. Well, I ought to know it all and be able to do it all. I've got experience, but guess what? Y'all figured it out before I did. I can. And there are things in my life when I become overwhelmed where I need to prioritize. It's kind of like when I say prioritize, how many of you ever go to Golden Corral? Right? Don't lie. Got a kidney for lying there. How many of you have been to a buffet? Okay, I figured that. Now, I don't know how I'm going to say this, but me and Jim Beanblossom, I don't know if Tom does it better or not. And boy, Mike, there's a buffet down in Ram Clinton, North Carolina, that makes Golden Corral look like kids play. And I used to go in there. They had big plates. Listen, this thing, God is my witness, stretch the width of this sanctuary. And on Friday nights and Saturday nights and Sunday at lunch, they didn't just have barbecue. They had a whole hog on the buffet. Every kind of fish fried, scrump, you name it, they had it. Every kind of okra, corn, squash. I'm getting hungry. And, they had it. Now, when you go to those buffets, how many of you eat everything on the buffet? I didn't say you eat everything on your plate. How many of you eat everything on the buffet? What do you have to do? You have to choose. You have to prioritize. You have to say, you know, I want that. And if you're kind of like me, and some of you are worse than me, you're a diabetic, you go, well, I can't have that, but I'm going to sneak some of it anyway. Or I'm not supposed to eat this, or I'm not supposed to. So you have to prioritize. It's the same way. That's the gift of too much. When you are under, and when you're overwhelmed, maybe God is saying to you, it's time to put some stuff down. Just because you can do it all doesn't mean God called you to do it all. Put something down is the first lesson of the gift of too much. You need to let the Holy Spirit lead you to what you put down. Now, some of you will go, well, I'm smart enough to know what I know. Let the Spirit of God lead you to what you keep and what you put down. Why? Because the Spirit of God won't make the wrong decision. You will. When I'm going through the buffet line and I can get green beans and limas and some of those other things, but I got to prioritize on my plate. I only got room for candied yams, more barbecue, and a bigger piece of fried chicken. That's not a good choice, is it? Not when you're a cardiac survivor. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you make those choices. That's why you do it. The gift of too much. Being overwhelmed, the first thing you need to do, Lord, is there something, is there something I need to let go of? You parents, I'm amazed at parents. We did it with Adam. And I know some of you. You got your kids. You're going to, the little girls are going to dance class, and the boys are, and now they're going to soccer, and they're playing football. Everything the boys do, and they're better at it. And you're going here, you're going there, you're going here. You're trying to make this, you're trying to make that. You're trying to be a wife and a good mother, and you're trying to work, or you're trying to be a dad, and you're overwhelmed, and you go, I'm just too busy. You know, you don't have to do all that. You don't. Ask the Spirit what you can put down. The gift of too much teaches us to put something down. The gift of too much teaches us to give something away. What I mean to give something away, it's a word we use nowadays. Again, in business, we use it in the church. And it is probably my greatest weakness as a pastor. And it's not the preaching. Don't any of you say that. I'll get you, okay? It is the willingness to delegate. Now, I have been the pastor of large churches and small churches. And when I'm in the large churches, I kind of like to do like I did in the small church. See, one of the benefits of kind of being at Holloway's right now is that you folks, I know we think we got folks that are sick all the time. But you folks are fairly healthy. I've been in churches where I was at three different hospitals 4 days a week. and I've got to get three sermons ready for Sunday morning, a sermon ready for Sunday night, and for Wednesday night. And I had a full staff, and I thought, I'm the preacher, I got to be there. And I got to make this meeting, and I got to make that meeting. And they told me that the lock on the door's broke, and I know I can call somebody, but I'm fairly handy. I can screw it up till they can call the professional to fix it, and you get it? You need to delegate it. There's something that I took on this week. I took the time out of my day to do it, but I didn't need to do it. Why? Is it that I can't do it? Nope. In fact, 90% of the people in this congregation could do what I did. I drove all the way down here just to do it. And I thought, how stupid are you? You could spend the time that you're coming to do a little labor thing, and I enjoy doing, I do. You could spend it praying or preparing or just before the Lord. You see, it's kind of like Mary and Martha. You remember the story? One is there at the feet of Jesus, the other one scurrying everywhere. She comes in and goes, "Will you tell my sister to help me?" We need to learn to delegate. I want you to see in the life of Moses that it's biblical. Exodus 18, verses 23 through 24. Turn quickly. You need to learn to delegate. Moms and dads, you need to learn to delegate. You moms and dads that are doing everything for your children are doing them a disservice. My daddy delegated mowing the lawn to me and my two other brothers. If it didn't get delegated, we met with the head of the delegation. You know what I'm talking about? Won't hurt them to make up their bed. Won't hurt them to watch. Teach them to wash clothes before they go off to college. I've only got one complaint about college. It's High Point University. Great place. Costs more than the national debt. Sent one of my kids from Carolina Memorial in Thomasville over there, found out they not only have laundry service, in other words, you wear your clothes all week and you put it outside the door, they'll come clean them, wash them, fold them, drop them back at the door. I went, when donkeys fly. If you miss class, get this, if you miss class, they don't call you and threaten you that the professor's going to fail you. They want to know if you're all right. I started to tell Nito Cobain, who was he's a billionaire, I said, "Nito, you need to cut the lace off the boys' britches and teach the girls that when they graduate, they're not going to have daddy's money and mama's money to do these things. Need to teach it." Folks, delegate. You can't do it all. Put some things down. Delegate. Look at Moses 18, 13 through 24. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically what it deals with is that Moses was to hear, he was the judge, he was to hear complaints. And he's got about 3 million people, and so all day long Moses is sitting from morning to night and he's hearing the complaints of his people. His father-in-law Jethro comes to him and he says, "Moses, what you're doing is wearing you out. I've done the same thing. You've done the same thing. I got to do it. If I don't do it, well then you won't do it the way I do it." Good. Good. And he says, "You're wearing yourself out." He says, "What you need to do is you need to delegate this responsibility. For the big problems, tell them to bring it to Moses. For the little problems, you choose you some faithful people and you delegate it to them and you let them hear it and let them take care of it so that you can stay strong to be the leader I need you to be. In your family, in your work, you need to learn to delegate." That's what God's telling you. You're overwhelmed. Maybe God's saying, Hey, not only do you cheat yourself when you fail to delegate, you cheat others. You really do cheat others. Because last time I checked, most people can do most of the things that most of us can do. Can't do it all. What I try to tell folks that I've learned, and it's been the hardest lesson I've had learned as a pastor, I need to do what only I can do. And that is, I need to spend the time preparing to preach. And I need to try to be there for the critical needs. That's why I tell you, if you're not feeling well, you call me, I don't care what time it is. If your toe is what's bothering you, I want you to see me face to face. If all that's bothering you is your toe, and you call me at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll answer. 4:30, I'm going to be at your house with my hammer, and I'm going to take care of your toe. You see, sometimes in church we expect our leaders, our deacons or somebody, well, they're going to look after everything, or the senior person, they're going to look after everything, or the social committee. Don't get me started on the social committee. When we have a fellowship, we all show up to the buffet to eat. We eat, we clean our plate, we enjoy it, we fellowship, and when we finish, we're roadrunner. Right? We gone. Do you realize that in every church, somebody has to clean up your garbage? You wouldn't do it at home. Why you do it here? Well, I'll just leave my plate. The social people will get to it. They will. They'll talk about you too. I didn't say that. The gift of too much teaches us to put something down. It teaches us to give something away. And the third thing it does, it teaches us to hand something off. You see, there's sometimes you can't put it down. There's sometimes you can't give it away. Maybe your problem is so big and so overwhelming that, you know, hey, I've got cancer. I'd love to put that down, or I'd love to give that away, or my mother or my dad have Alzheimer's, or at work business is bad and they're downsizing, and I'm probably going to lose my job. Boy, I'd love to give that, you know. You've been there. And so you come to the third gift. Third thing you can do, you hand it off. Who do you hand it off to? You hand it off to the Lord. Psalm 55, 22, and we're going to close quickly. Psalm 55, 22. Sometimes you need to hand it off. You don't always need to say, Lord, you know, if you go to the Lord, listen, take all of it to the Lord, but the Lord may say, put it down. Quit doing so much. The Lord may say, give it away. Delegate it. Or it may be so overwhelming that the Lord says this to you. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. God says, I'll put a whole lot more on you than you can handle. But you and I can handle it together.
Amen.
In fact, Jesus talks about handling it together. And I like the Jesus way. It's found in Matthew 11, verse 28. Because God says, not only will I help you handle it, He says, I'll take the heavy part. I'll take the heavy part. Now, this is the hard thing. Some of us are in such pain and are overwhelmed because circumstances aren't going to change because I lost a loved one, and the pain there is not going to, you can't give it away, you can't delegate it, it's real. And then we want to, we go, and I'll share with them, have you given it to God? Yeah, but, now, let me share with you again, for those of you that are visiting, sheep follow goat's butt. You get that? I would, Lord, but. Now, you know, I love these people. If you just give it to God, it'll all be okay. You're going to hang on to it, but let me show you what Jesus says to us. 11, verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you what? Rest. What do we need at times? We need rest. God, if I could just get out from under this. And God says, I'm not going to get you out of it, but I'll get you through it.
Amen.
The waves that are over your head are under His feet.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I remember working with my grandfather. My grandfather was the superintendent of the second largest farm in North Carolina. 5,000 acres, not 5 acres, not 500, 5,000 acres under cultivation in eastern North Carolina. The biggest was 8,000. If you can imagine 5,000 acres. He had quite an operation. Now, they had a dairy barn, and then they had the feedlot, you know. But at the dairy barn, from time to time, he would send
me, or he'd let me go with him because we'd get fresh milk. Now, you know, I like the pasteurized stuff, but I like it straight from the cow. Some of you don't know what I'm saying. Hey, let's try it. You'll smack your mom, it's so good, okay? Well, he let me try to carry the bucket, and my granddaddy taught me something one time. He said, he stopped and he picked up a stick. I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to the dairy bar. He put the stick through the bucket. We got the milk to take back to the house. It's a walk of, about a quarter of a mile from the dairy barn. And I noticed that my granddaddy kept the part. He held the stick and I held the stick, but more of the weight, I didn't learn this till later, was on his end. I could help. I could help. I couldn't pick up that old bucket or I'd have had milk on me and him all by myself before we got to the house. You know, that's what Jesus does. Jesus knows you're not going to let go of it completely. But if you can't put it down, if you can't hand it off, let him carry the heavy part. And I want to make you a promise. He will. He will. Now you may say, well, I've been trying to give it to Jesus and Jesus didn't do anything. That's probably because he's telling you to put it down. Jesus, I'm overwhelmed. Put it down. You won't have so much to do. You can't do it all. Don't try to do it all. That's number one. Number two, give it away. Can somebody else do it? Yes, let them do it. But when they can't, he's there for you. I know. I know from personal experience. You need to put your trust in God, in a God that says, I can, when you say, I can't. It's Satan that's going to tell you, oh, God won't put more on you than you handle. God said, I'll put more on you than you can ever dream of handling. Why? Because I want you to depend on me and not yourself. Depend on me. Jesus says, I'm your Lord, I'm your Savior, I went to the cross for you. Depend on me, and I'll see you through. Where are you today? Where are you? Jesus is waiting. He's waiting to receive what you want to give him. But if you won't give it, he won't force it on you. It's not one of those, well, why didn't Jesus just come take it? Because he's not going to take it unless you lay it down or unless you give it away, lay it down, or you give it to him. He's not going to force himself on you. In fact, he'll just let you walk around with it. So here's what you need to pray today, maybe. Jesus, help me prioritize. Help me prioritize my life. Help me prioritize my family life. Help me prioritize my work life. Help me prioritize my worship life. Help me prioritize my church life. Jesus, help me delegate. I can't do it. There are things that others can do, and they can do it as good as I can or better, and they've got the time or they are willing to help me. They told me they will. Jesus, teach me how to delegate. Or Jesus, I give it to you. I had hoped today, and I wasn't able to work it out technologically. Some of you know Carrie Underwood, the singer. Carrie Underwood, a couple of years ago in November, came out with a beautiful song where she is talking about driving home to see her parents. She's got a little baby in the back of the car. And she says, I was driving too fast. And she hit black ice. And she said that in the song, she says, my life and my baby's life flashed in front of me as I thought, we're going to die. And she said, I just took my hands off the steering wheel. I said, Jesus, take the wheel. You know the song I'm talking about? Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hand. Jesus, take the wheel. That's what he wants to do today. Let Jesus take the wheel. Maybe you're overwhelmed with sadness, or what your problem is that you don't know Jesus except in your head. You don't know him as your Savior. You don't know him as the one who will forgive you. You don't know him as Lord. And you know all about him up here, but you haven't experienced him in here. Jesus is saying, I'll handle it. Give me your sin. Give me your sin. I'll handle it. Kick the devil in the tail, tell him to go home. I'll handle it. Whatever he's telling you today, we're going to come at a time of invitation. It's the time of decision. It's the time to be still. Time for you to pray for that person beside you. Pray for me. Maybe you know me. I've given you my stories.
Jesus, take the wheel. Take it from my hands. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing.
Father, there's some people here today that are overwhelmed, and they don't know what to do. And so maybe the first thing they need to do is just put it down. Put it down. Quit trying to do so much. Quit trying to do it all yourself. Let the Lord do it. Prioritize. There's some folks here that need to delegate. Delegate some family responsibility, some work responsibility, some life responsibility. And there's some people here, God, that are so, they are nostril deep in pain and sadness, and they don't know what to do. And you're standing right here today. In fact, you're right beside them saying, "Let me take the wheel. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul." Father, do that today. Amen.